Mark chapter 4. Listen, those Jesus words, not Andy's. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up. Since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Skipping down to verse 21. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And Jesus continued and said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus goes on and he says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And finally, Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Now we could spend 3 months in any one of these parables because there's a whole bunch in there that we could unpack. But this is what I read when I read those three parables in succession and just read them out loud. This is what I hear from Jesus. He says, you have been given something. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have living inside of you the light of Jesus. You have His light inside of you. And is that light supposed to be taken to a place where nobody else is so that only you can enjoy it and it's just between you and God? And Jesus says, no, you don't take a light and do that. Light is for when you go out to dark places and exposes the darkness and it makes it light so that others are able to see. And he said, this is what happens when you go out and you shine the light of Jesus that is within inside of you. It scatters seed. And when that seed goes out to people that are unchurched, they don't know Jesus, they don't know His Word, what happens is it falls on their heart and it starts to grow inside of them. And he says, I want to warn you, sometimes you're going to scatter that seed and there's going to be some people that, man, their soil has not been cultivated well. It's rocky. It's thorny. It's going to be really shallow. It won't have any roots that are growing. And as he later would describe, that the cares of this world will come along and choke out their faith so that they walk away from it. But he said, this is what happens when you find some good cultivated soil and the seed is planted. He said, it yields fruit. 30, 60, even 100-fold. What does that mean? That means that somebody that may receive the word of Jesus from you while doing an act of kindness, a gospel message, whatever it may be that you share with someone, and they receive it in their well-cultivated heart, is that they go out and they tell others, and they tell others, and they tell others. And before long, we have the first pyramid marketing scheme that ever was of Jesus saying, listen, pass this along. And more people will come to know who Jesus is as Lord and Savior. It's just like the promise that was just sung about. Jesus promises that when we plant this seed that He's put inside of us, this light of Jesus, when we spread it, when we share it with others, good things start to happen. And as Becky and Lonnie and Debbie, or as I call them, Debbie and friends, just sang for us, it's a promise. We can take it to the bank. And Jesus says, here's one more thing. You're not going to understand how it does, how it happens. Just like a farmer that plants a seed and he comes out and he's like, I have no idea how it grows. All I know is I got some corn now. So that's what's going to happen when you spread the news of Jesus. Just one kind word or message may enter somebody's heart and the next day they text you or call you and say, man, I was so impacted by the thing that you said yesterday. Thank you so much. I want to know more about this Jesus guy because of what you said or how you're living your life. I want to know more. And we won't understand it. We'll just be blown away to say, man, isn't God amazing? And yes, He is. But that's how He works. And you might be sitting there, well, what do I have to offer? I don't have that much faith. I'm still trying to figure this out. I don't have many gifts. And He says, you know what? It starts with a mustard seed. The smallest of all seeds. All that it takes. But when it falls, well-cultivated soil, a well-cultivated heart, it takes sprout and it grows and it yields great fruit. We have this ministry fair going on in the lobby. I hope you didn't miss it, because if you do, we need to work on some things, right? But we saw all the different ministries sign up, and first let's give a hand to the people that set those up. They did an awesome job. And all these different ministries are represented here at the church that are working in the church. And basically, we have ministries for three different reasons. Number one, yes, some of them are administrative. God has blessed us with an amazing building that's paid off and great property. He blesses us with the offerings that you sacrifice to give. And we need to be good stewards, wise stewards of those things. And so, yes, we have some administrative ministry that takes place to take care of those things. But besides that, all of our ministries do one of two things. One, they either are about reaching those who don't know Jesus, or they are about discipling those or helping people who do know Jesus become more like Jesus. That's what all of our ministries do. And so as you are confronted with all of these ministry opportunities today, we're asking you to plug in. We're asking you to plug in. We're asking you to take the light that Jesus has put inside of you and not keep it to yourself, but to plug into the church, His body, His bride, so that we can light up this community and light up this church and do the things that Jesus has commissioned us to do, which are go and tell people who don't know Him and help make disciples or help people that do know Him become more like Him. And your response to this ministry fair and these different ministries could be one of three things. One, and this is the answer that I really like as a pastor. Awesome. I love this. Where can I go? Plug me in. I don't care. Check all the boxes. Yes, let's get this thing going. Anyone that does that, you get 5 stars extra in heaven, okay? 5 golden jewels, right? I love that, because what that tells me is that you get it. You understand that we have this huge blessing. We're calling this series, I Can't Believe I Get to Do This, and that's exactly right. I can't believe that I get to serve alongside Jesus in His church, and I hope you feel that way, and I hope that you see the gifts that you have and are ready to plug into the church so that others might be able to know Jesus. We get to work on God's team. We get to be on His side. My son just went back to Michigan Tech yesterday, and we had to send him with sled dogs because I think that's all that'll get through up there. He's looked at internships down the road. He's like, man, I would love to work for Tesla. I said, yeah. He's like, oh, man. He said, those cars are amazing. They go from like 0 to 100 before you can blink your eye. You know, they're like fast. And I got to see someone, we were in Orlando, and they're just amazing. And so Elon Musk, and he's spending his billions just to really explore and just to advance what might be out there, the possibilities. I'm like, man, I would love to work for that guy. We get to work with Jesus. We get to work with the Creator of the universe in His church. What He has gifted us with, what He has given us to work with. And we have the opportunity to either plug in or to not. Some of you may say, you know what? No, I ain't doing it. I'm good. Come here on Sunday. Check my box. I'm all right. You know, just let me kind of slide on out of here, Andy. I really don't want to hear about your ministry stuff. Well, the follow-up question, obviously, is why? And some of you may be thinking that, you know what? I don't have time. Some of you may be thinking to yourself, I don't have any gifts. I don't have anything to use. And we look at this parable and you say, no, a mustard seed side. Every single person here has a gift. God would not send you here for this to be your church and you to sit on your hands and not use your gifts. He wouldn't do it. 1 Corinthians 12 is very obvious that he says we're one church with many members. And if all of our members are not functioning in their role, we're sick. We're sick. And so there really is no excuse. The other thing people say, I don't want to do it. I'm like, listen, I don't really see an option in Scripture. I mean, how many times did you really read Jesus say, you know what, guys? This is what I was thinking. What would you think about if we went and did this? Or here's 3 different options. What do you think? Maybe we go do one of these. All throughout Scripture, what do we hear God say? What do we hear Jesus say in the Great Commission? Go! It wasn't, hey, would you like to go? Hey, how about we go? He says, go! Go do! He didn't give Jonah a choice. He didn't give any of these prophets a choice. This is what you're going to do. He gives his apostles joy. This is what you're going to do. We don't have an option in this. And some of you may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't know. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know if I want to be in or if I want to be out. And I'm hoping that today, in the few minutes that we have in our message, because I had this big, long introduction, is I'll be able to sway you from the I don't know to, man, I can't wait to get plugged in. Because of what it says in God's Word, the very Word that was sown on your heart once upon a time and is trying to take root and is trying to sprout so that the light of Jesus that is inside of you can expand and grow so that others might see who Jesus is and that others might grow to be more like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get the opportunity to open up your Word. What a blessing it is, Father. A blessing to be at your church and a blessing that we have in the church. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us and guide us as we go through your Word, that every heart would be stirred here to say, Lord, where do you want me? Where do you want me to work? Where do you want me to plug into your kingdom so that others might know who you are? And I pray that you would lead us through that at this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, when we think and we look at getting plugged in, when we look at power, we look at power sources, electricity, and all those kinds of things, I can't help to go to one of my favorite movies of all time, Christmas Vacation. Can I get an oh yeah? Right? Christmas Vacation. I love Christmas Vacation. We watch it every Christmas holiday season because Dad knows when to mute it, and Dad knows when to fast forward it, and Dad knows when to say, kids, turn your heads away, right? And so we love Christmas Vacation, and there's three pictures, though, that are kind of a little more maybe a subtle message within Christmas Vacation that I just love about the movie. Number one just comes from the sleeve, right? The jacket that is with the movie, and you see Clark, and he's like getting electrocuted, and psh, right? And because when you think Christmas Vacation, you think about the light scene, right? And just getting the lights lit up. But what I see when I look at the jacket for the movie is the excitement on Clark's face. And when you go to when you watch the movie, that's the thing that overtakes you, is that he is just so excited about Christmas. He is so excited to host the family Christmas. And his wife tries to talk him out of it. Well, can we put him in a hotel? Do we really have to? Maybe we ought to go. No, I'm hosting Christmas. And he just has this excitement because he has built up in his head what it's going to look like, and he can't wait to see it happen. Well, the next scene that you, the picture that you'll see up there is just the moment right before he plugs it in, right? And one time he plugs it in and it doesn't work, and other times he comes back and it finally does work. But the excitement that you see in his eyes and his face when he finally is getting ready, because he's so anticipating, because he can see it in his mind, what it's going to look like when everything is ready and everything is ready to go, and he plugs it in. And then finally, of course, we have the end result, where the house is lit up and all of Chicago's electricity goes down, right? You remember that in the movie? And electricity things are spinning on there. And he flips the switch up so everybody has electricity again. But what has he got to experience from his excitement? Fruition. He got to see the final product come forth as he had pictured in his head when all the 25,000 twinkling Italian imported lights, however he says it, right? And he gets to see all of it come to life. I know it might be somewhat of a crude analogy, but here's the deal. I want you with the same anticipation to plug into God's church. I want you with the same anticipation of what can happen when you just put your small gift or maybe your huge gifts into God's church, the light that can take place because you did that, because you plugged in with who Jesus is. I want us to have that same kind of anticipation. If you would look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. It starts like this. I'm just going to do a couple verses at a time. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. I want to back up and say something that I said several weeks ago, and I really hope that you've absolutely absorbed this. The church is God's gift to His people. It truly is. The church, which is the gathering of people, an ecclesia, the gathering of people from our homes for one purpose, which ours is to worship Jesus, is a gift from God for His people. Some people ignore the church. Some people say, I don't need to go to church. Some say, what did I do? Being a Christian church, and they try to tie all these things together. But the fact of the matter is, God gave us a church to be a part of. And if you get ticked off at me or ticked off at the leadership or you hate the music or you hate this or whatever and you decide I don't want to go anymore, go somewhere where they teach the Bible, because the church is God's gift to His people. And we're not here to worship Andy or the worship songs or the music or anything else. We're here to worship God. And why? Because the church is God's gift to His people. And in that gift to His people, He gave all these different leadership positions. He gave apostles, sent ones with a message. He gave prophets, people that carry a word from the Lord. He gave evangelists, that's what they would call my position, someone that gets to preach the gospel. He gave shepherds, which we would call elders and the leaders that kind of handle the function there, the function of the church. And He gave us teachers, people that get on faith training and they do teaching or communion meditation and different moments where we have those teaching moments. He gave us, as a part of this gift of the church, people to be able to lead in those positions in that way. But He said, this is why I gave you those positions. It's to equip the saints. Now, how many of you are a saint? Raise your hand. All right. The Bible says that anybody who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior is a saint. So how many of you are saints? Absolutely. Every single person that has surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, you're a saint. Now, I know the Catholic Church wants to identify it this way and give all these rules for what sainthood and all that. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you surrender to Jesus, you are a saint. And so what Paul is saying simply to this church in Ephesus is he's saying, here's the deal, guys. That God gave us not just the church for us to worship and glorify Him, but He gave us these leadership people to be able to train or equip the saints for the works of ministry. For the works of ministry. And what are works of ministry? We go back to what our purpose is. Yes, we have some administrative stuff. But really, our church is about reaching those who don't know Jesus. And we're also about discipling or helping those who do know Jesus to become like Jesus. I've kind of worded it this way with the elders, and I think we're getting ready to adopt this. And so you can save this for another day. But basically, we want to be a church that helps people journey with Jesus. We simply want to be a church that helps people journey with Jesus. So that whether that journey is finding Him in the first place, or once you've found Him, finding to be more like Him, we want to help with that journey. But we can't do it as one preacher, or as seven elders, or as six ministry staff. We have to do it as a whole church. And Paul said, here's the deal. This is what the church looks like. There are some leadership roles that I've established, but I didn't establish them for them to be the only people doing that work. They are to equip the saints for these works of ministry. And the end result, he says, will be what? For the building up of the body of Christ. This is how we build the body. And building the body can look two different ways, right? Building the body can talk about just size. You know, you can build up a body, build up a building. You see a child that's born and they get bigger and bigger and they grow. And you see the building up of something in that way, yes. But the building up of the body is also just your and I's maturity in growing to be like Jesus. And that happens by being equipped for whatever our work of ministry may be. So we want to be a church that trains you to be able to do the work of ministry that God has created and prepared and put in our lives to do so that the body can grow. We can become more healthy. We can become stronger. We can have proper nutrition. We can do the things that are healthy and not do the things that are unhealthy. And so my question to you is this. What part of the church is going to light up because you plug in? What part of the church is going to light up because you plug in? If every one of us has a ministry work to do here at the church, if we don't do it, does it not make sense that that work is not getting done? And doesn't it also so make sense that if everyone here is plugging in to whatever their part is, that that part of the church is absolutely going to illuminate that we might be able to see? How many of you have been light bulb shopping lately? Didn't it used to be easy? How many watts do you want? Right? I mean, that's all there was. Do you want 40, 60, 20? What do you want? You want 100? Do you want to ruin the earth? Now the question is, do you want to ruin the earth or do you not want to ruin the earth? Right? That's what the question is now. LED, then you got, you know, soft light. What's soft light? Soft light, bright light, daylight, this light, all these different kinds of light. But the fact is, when you get these different light bulbs, you're just saying, listen, I just want to light something up. I want to be able to see. I don't want something that's dim. I want something that's bright so that I can actually see what's taking place. See, if we don't plug in, when we're given a place to plug in, there's going to be a dark part of our church. Now you might say, how does my cleaning the toilets have anything to do with lighting up the church? Well, I'll tell you that about 1,000 people use that toilet on any given week. And if it's not clean, it reflects on our church. Right? If a corner of the building is not clean, it reflects on our church. If a bulletin may not get out or a newsletter doesn't get out, and Emily works hard on those things, and if they don't get done, people might miss them and say something about them. It could reflect on our church. Every single part is important, and as we plug in, it lights up that portion of the church where God has sent you to serve. We move on. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. There's a scary part of being a pastor, and here's the scary part. We've seen a lot of folks be baptized over these last few years. A lot of folks that came up and they proclaimed their faith in Jesus Christ, and we buried them in a watery grave. And probably one of the scariest parts of a pastor, as a pastor, is when those people come out of that watery grave, when they come out of those baptismal waters, as you look at them and you say, I don't have time in my schedule. I need to know who's going to disciple you to become like Jesus. Because this is what can happen. Just like the parable of the seeds. When the sower sows the seeds, sometimes people get really excited. They hear the message. They say, yes, I'm all in. I want Jesus. They're baptized. They're buried in this watery grave. And they come up and they're united with Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection. They find their place to plug in. But then because nobody's walking alongside of them, the cares of the world choke it out. And we see people, one after another, walk away from their faith, walk away from the church. Paul says, here's the warning to you. If you don't equip the saints to do the works of ministry so that the church can grow, we're going to be tossed around. And as we're tossed around, as Satan tries to get a foothold, as Satan tries to subtly whisper something in your ear, what you're going to see is people, yes, maybe coming in the front door, but they're dashing out the side door because they're saying, I want nothing to do with this. And why? Because someone's not walking alongside of them. The same can be true of people serving in the church as well. Some people serve so much that they're in their position for 25 years and nobody's even come over and said thank you to them. Or they say, is anybody going to maybe give me a break because I've been doing, I can't even take vacation because nobody's there to take my class for me, right? And we have people that see that and they start to unplug from the church and start to unplug from the role of ministry. What happens when you unplug from something, the current stops, doesn't it? And the illumination that you're looking forward to or looking to isn't there. On Wednesday mornings at 10 after 8, I go to Cherry Street School. And I go to Mrs. Willis's class, and I go there and I have a fourth grade mentee. And I can't tell you his name, I don't think, for purposes of safety or security or whatever. But anyway, not that it would matter to you. But I go and get my young man, and he comes out, and we go to this room and we do some schoolwork. And then after that, he always wants to go to the gym. And one day I went to the gym with him, and the floor was still wet, and we were kicking the soccer ball, and I fell flat on my back, but that's another story for another day. Anyway. So I go and get my young man this one day. It's about, 4 or 5 weeks ago. And we go in this room, and his teacher had given him this little kit. And it was an electricity kit. And we sat down, and he opened up the box, and he just started putting it all together. He didn't need to read any instructions or manuals or have me. I'm glad he didn't look to me for any instruction on it. And he starts plugging everything in. And sure enough, the light bulb goes off. Because of all the things that he did. And then we had this little paper and said, what happens if you do this? He's like, well, it won't come on. Well, why not? Because the circuit's broken. The connection's broken. There's no continuity. It doesn't continue on when you unplug this part of it. The light bulb doesn't come on. See, we need everybody to plug in so that we have this continuity, so that we have this consistent pattern, this consistent electricity that's running through this church to be able to light up the church, so that the church might be able to be the light that God has called it to be. We need everybody to stay plugged in. To stay plugged in so that the current isn't interrupted. We need everybody to stay plugged in so the current isn't interrupted. See what happens if you unplug from the church. If you unplug from your ministry area. And somebody's not there to step in and to walk alongside that area or to step into that ministry. There could be a whole group of people relying on that ministry that now have nothing. But to keep that current going, to keep people on that constant current of becoming like Jesus, we need to stay plugged in so that all of our ministry roles are filled, so that everybody has the chance not just to hear about Jesus, but to continue to grow to be like Jesus. And it comes from staying plugged in. The last couple of verses say this: rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what happens is this: when you and I are plugged in to the power of Jesus Christ, when we are plugged into our ministry role, and all the different opportunities are being taken care of, the church grows. And when the church grows, other opportunities come in the door. We started Celebrate Recovery this year, and we did that because we saw a need for people, and mostly in addictive situations, needed some place to go, needed the gospel shared with them so that they might grow to become more like Jesus and be able to put some of those things aside or put them in their rearview mirror or have somebody hold them accountable or whatever the case was. We were able to do that because in our other ministry areas we were covered, and we were able to add another outlet. And in that other outlet that we were able to add, we had a leader. Becky was willing to plug into that outlet and say, yes, let's get this thing going. It can only happen if we continue in our ministry areas so that we can add more outlets as the church grows. So we need everybody to stay plugged in so that we can add more outlets. We want to add more opportunities in ministry to be able to reach whatever needs that our community has to help them grow to be like Jesus. But we can only do that when the ministries we already have, people are plugged in. Then we can add as people come and as the body grows and we continue to get plugged in and add new outlets so that people can continue to grow to be like Jesus. Well, obviously we can't talk about all this plugged in stuff without looking at the power source. And of course our power source is Jesus. And as we all plug into that power source of Jesus, the body grows. Because it's a promise He gave us. He said that I'm inside of you. It's a light. And when you shine that light for others to see, you may not understand it. But as others see that light and it goes to a well-cultivated heart and it falls there, it starts to grow. And people start to understand more about who Jesus is, and they give their lives to Him and they start to grow to be like Him. And He said, and I just need you to have the faith of a mustard seed to really understand it. And are you there? Do you have the faith to step out, to say, I'm ready to plug in. I'm going to plug into the power source of Jesus, and I'm going to trust Him to point me to the ministry area that He wants me to plug into, and that as I plug into that area, more and more of the church will light up bright like light bright for all the community to see and all of the world to see, so that people that don't have a relationship with Jesus will come to have one, and those that already do will come to grow to be like Jesus. Do you remember the old hymn that was written? I think, I want to say it was in the 1500s, but my memory's gone. Anyway, this guy named William McKay wrote this song. It is Revive Us Again. You remember that song? Anybody remember that song, Revive Us Again? The first verse is, we praise Thee, O Lord, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who's died and has now gone above. Remember that? And how's the chorus go, you know? Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. I don't know if the story's true. I checked a couple of facts just to see if I could even tell the story in good conscience, and so I'll share it. And you may have heard it before. But the story goes that William McKay, when he was 17 years old, was going off to college. And when he's going off to college, his mother, who's a very godly woman, gave him a Bible. And she wrote his name in it, William McKay, and put some verses, underlined some verses and things in it for him. Well, he went off to college and really just fell away from his faith. He got heavy into drinking and just was really not following Jesus whatsoever. In fact, the story goes that one night he just wanted a drink so desperately, he actually took his Bible, pawned it, just to get some money to buy a whiskey with. That's how badly he was down this path of drunkenness and just really not living for Jesus. Well, years later, he worked, continued through education and stuff, and he actually became a doctor, became a medical doctor. And as the story goes, he was in this hospital doing his rounds or whatever, and he had a patient that was not doing well. He was dying. And he went to check on that patient, and when he went in to see that patient, he's like, listen, he's like, Doc, what are my chances? What's going on? And, you know, Dr. McKay had to say, basically, listen, you really don't have much time. I mean, you're going to die. And the guy said, all right. He said, well, he said, can I get you anything? And the guy said, well, get me my book. And he's like, what book? He's like, well, call so-and-so at the house. They'll bring it. They'll know what I'm talking about. I just need my book. So he's like, all right. So he calls. They do the book thing, whatever. Well, some time later, he's inquiring because he's just got this stuck in his head about who this guy is. And he goes to the hospital check and they said, hey, what about this patient? And they said, well, Dr. McKay, he passed. He's like, okay. He said something about a book. And he's like, well, his belongings are in the ER or wherever. And so he went down. They said he doesn't normally do this, but he went down and checked the guy's belongings. And in there he found the book. And when he opened the book, what did he find? William McKay. This guy that had pawned his Bible for a drink of whiskey, years later as he's working in the hospital, picks up the same Bible that his grandmother had given him, opens it up from some stranger that just wanted his book, and he sees his name written on there. He starts to pour through it and read all these scriptures that his grandmother had underlined for him. It says that he fell to his knees and just surrendered his life to Jesus and said, I need to come back. I need you in my life. The story goes that Dr. McKay resigned his position at the hospital. He entered seminary and became a Presbyterian pastor and started sharing the gospel everywhere that he could. And along with sharing the gospel, he was writing songs apparently, and he wrote this song, Revive Us Again. And another verse in that song, if you'll remember, says this, Revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. You know, folks, sometimes I think we get in cruise control about serving for Jesus and about plugging into the ministry area that He has fully equipped us to serve in. Because we think somebody else will do it. I don't have time. There's other things that have to be done. There's all kinds of things competing for our time. And I'm telling you right now that He is calling you back to say, listen, it's time to start plugging in again. It's time to plug in for the first time. And why? Because there are great things to be done for the kingdom. God wants His light to shine bright for all to see. And He wants you, because He's called you to this church, to be a part of our church body, to find that place to plug in so that we can illuminate this county. We can illuminate Northern Michigan. We can illuminate the state. We can illuminate the world, because everyone at Kalkaska Church of Christ has found their place to plug in. Whether it's for the first time or whether it's like Dr. McKay coming back to his faith and realize that God is still calling and He's got a place for you in His kingdom and a place for you to serve in His church.